In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. A seed is a remarkable thing. There is a story a number of years back of someplace in Egypt where they dug up a certain king that they were looking for. And among the things that they found in this tomb was a canister that contained a whole lot of, it looked like, some sort of wheat-based seed. They really weren't sure. This was 1,000 to 3,000 years old. They hadn't dated it yet. But as it turned out, when all of the testing was in, it looked like it was closer to 3,000 years old. And so no one thought anything about this seed. I mean, 3,000-year-old seed, what can happen with it, right? So they took some of it and planted it. And sure enough, it germinated. 3,000 years old, and the seed germinated, which is an amazing thing, which shows you how incredible God's universe is and how incredible this parable that the Lord tells us today is as well. Now, St. Luke's gospel has, if you can believe it, 50 parables. I didn't even realize that. But there are 50 parables that are in Luke's gospel. And the Lord would very often use parables in a way it seemed to just sort of hint at a different truth. And at another time, as in today's reading, to deliberately obscure truth from people. Because he actually says to his disciples, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to others that they see but don't see, that they hear but don't understand. And that raises the question in our own minds is, well, Lord, what's going on? Why would you do something like to confuse the people just right off the bat like that? Isn't this supposed to be truth and teaching and the words of life? And the Lord himself explained that the seed was the word of God. And if a physical seed 3,000 years old can contain within it the things that it did, what does the word of God contain within it? And St. Gregory Palamas discusses this a bit, and he says, well, it's because at the time the moral nature of the people then was such that they were not, one, deserving to hear the truth, that they were being called to search for it, to go after it, to think about it, to not necessarily understand it right off the bat, but to give them enough impetus to follow and to learn and to understand. And this was a big thing for the people at the time, because they were to, as we all have to do, explore the Word of God further. And secondly, because the worthiness of the time was simply so far below the teaching of the Lord that the whole world was really not worth the teaching that he was giving, because there were so many people out there that were actively fighting against God at that point, that the Lord himself decided that his words in the end, if they did not accept them, would condemn them, that they would not have a chance at salvation because they reject the things that he offers. And this seems harsh to us. And in fact, this whole parable seems harsh to us, because we have instances where the Lord, the sower of the seed, is throwing seed out, and yet for three times in different circumstances, it doesn't work. It doesn't take. It's either rejected from the beginning because the devil comes along and steals it away before people have a chance to accept it, or because it's received with joy but then never really takes root, or because it's choked with weeds because of the cares and pleasures of this life come up to dominate the initial joy that the acceptance of this wonderful teaching might have had. But then, of course, we hear about the last group. The last group who accept it with all joy and gladness, and they put it to use. And it increases 100-fold, he says. And that's what we really need to be thinking about now. Because for all of us here, we are most likely thinking, well, I've passed stage one, I've passed stage two, I've passed stage three, and now I'm here on stage four, and you see, I've accepted it with joy. And so I'm one of those who are here that are glad of the Word of God, and that I'm going to bring forth that fruit. And that's fine. That's a good thing for all of us to think about. But then again, if we really think about it, what does this mean? What does this mean to have rich, fertile soil to grow the seed of the Word of God in our own lives? Well, we could look at it like this. If, for instance, we are harboring ill thoughts, or somehow we have been offended and we keep remembering these things, or we keep feeling that somehow we've been wronged and someone else got away with it, or we're mad because someone did something to us, if we're harboring thoughts like that at all, we're not in that fourth category. The ground that we have is not fertile, not fertile at all, and it's not ready. And so we have to think, well, maybe we have to bump ourselves back down a little bit and be one of the ones that struggle to come and overcome these things that are keeping us from having the seed that has been given to us grow 100-fold. If we have things in our lives that are keeping us from God at all, this is the problem. We are not in that fourth category. We need to struggle to increase. We need to go to confession to get rid of these things. We need to receive the Holy Eucharist with joy and gladness, and we need to make a very determined application of what we pick up in church to exercise it once we leave the church, once we go out into the world, to be able to forgive people, to be able to love one another. This is something that we don't think of too often, because we assume that we are the ones with the fertile ground simply because we are here. But the Lord is asking a lot more than that, a whole lot more. Elder Porphyrios, in his book, Wounded by Love, in one of the chapters that talks about the heart, the disposition of the heart, tells us something very interesting. He says that whether we love or whether we hate, both of these things are mystical in nature, that they transcend the type of categories that we usually put them in. And he gives an example. He says that there was a woman once who was visiting another woman's house. And this woman had a gorgeous vase, just beautiful. And she asked her about it, and the lady of the house said, "Yes, this was given to me by so-and-so. It was a wonderful thing. We're so happy to have it." And the other woman was feigning gladness at her good fortune for acquiring this object, but yet inside she was not feeling good about it. She was becoming covetous, jealous, and she got home. And the jealousy began to seethe because she began to think more and more about it. Why was it this woman got this vase and I haven't come across anything like this? And I'm certainly as deserving of it as she is. And it's so beautiful. She's showing it off to all these people. And so she should not have it. And the next day, she saw the woman again, just passing by her home. And she said, "Well, I hope you're enjoying that beautiful vase that you acquired that was given to you." And the lady said, "Well, you wouldn't believe it. But yesterday, about an hour after you left, the whole thing, just sitting on the table, cracked and fell apart. And Elder Porphyrius says, this is an example of the idea of what our love and what our passions can do. Because in this case, the woman was so covetous. She was so jealous. She was so seething with envy and rage at the fortune of this other woman that that rage actually caused a physical object to crack in that lady's house. We talk about good vibes and bad vibes. Maybe there's something to that. Because as St. Porphyrius says, in the same way, the love that we have one another transcends time, it transcends boundaries. It can affect us both emotionally and physically. He says, if you want to be healthy, love everyone. If you can find it in your hearts to forgive and to love and to cultivate the seed of the Word of God, then the poison that has been in us since the fall of Adam leaves us. And when that poison leaves us, everything about us in our persons, because we are persons, we are psychosomatic beings, we are physical and we are spiritual, everything about us becomes cleansed, becomes healthy if we do these things. Now, that's not to say that every time we're sick or ill or something like that, that something has happened in our lives that has caused this. That's not the case. But as St. Porphyrius says, if you want to become healthier in that regard, cultivate this purity of heart, this disposition of the heart, this getting rid of all the things that are keeping us from God and keeping us from our neighbors. And so I ask everyone in here tonight, today, how is your garden? Are you cultivating the garden of your heart with the same intensity and fervor that you cultivate the garden in your backyard? That you cultivate the garden at your work? That you cultivate the garden of any number of other desires that we have in our lives, that we pay attention to, that we take so much care over, that we spend so much time on? Do we spend at least the equal time caring for the garden of our heart? Is this something that means anything to us? And if we're not taking care of the garden of our heart, that shows us where our true love lies. And that should be a wake-up call to everyone. Because the Lord grants the rain and the sun to fall down on both the good and the evil. He causes every season in its time to decay and to rise again, the same way the garden does in our backyard. This is something that's a given. But the garden of the heart is something different altogether, because He waits for us to cultivate Him in order for this growth to occur. And if we ignore it, if we let it go, it's just proof positive that we really don't care anything about our Lord. We simply don't. How much time do we spend with Him? How much time do we converse with Him? How much time do we talk to His image in other people? How many good things do we try and do for Him? Is He with us every moment, every waking moment of every day? Because He should be. He should be a constant remembrance of the Lord in our hearts. And this is the whole point of this parable. Because the fact is that all of us, at one time or another, perhaps even varying through the day, sometimes we are those on the road. Sometimes we are those trying to manage the seed on the rock. Sometimes we are those who get choked by the weeds. And then sometimes we cultivate God in our hearts, but then the next day we start all over again. Let us remember this. Let us remember that God is with us all the time, that He's there. He's just waiting for you to talk to Him. He's just waiting for you to commune with Him. He's just waiting to give you more grace than you could possibly imagine, if only you're willing to take what He gives and make use of it, because that's the proof in the pudding. That is what He is wanting from all of us, to see action in our lives in terms of cultivating the grace that He gives us. Let us all pray that we will be able to take more and more of this grace and make it also come to fruition 100-fold in our lives, so that it will affect not only us, but all of those around us. Amen.